I want to read just a little bit, bring out a few thoughts tonight if I can. The second chapter, the 15th verse. The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." The Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Unto the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be thy husband. And he shall rule over thee." And unto Adam he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turns every way to keep the way of the tree of life. I want to discuss something with you a little bit tonight. Here You notice the Lord uses about, well, he's got several terms, we'll say, for angelic beings. One of them is referred to as angels. The other one is referred to as a cherubim. And the other one is referred to as a seraphim. And here it says that he placed a cherubim at the gate. Now there is a lot in what I read tonight, an awful lot, if we could just but see it. First of all, I want to dwell on the thought concerning the man and the woman. Both of them in this will be indicted in what we're about to say. It will have to do with the man as much as the woman. But I want you to listen real close. The Bible said that God created the man out of the dust. And then after that God had created Adam out of the dust, the Bible said then God put Adam into a deep sleep. And as Adam slept, the Bible said that God took one of Adam's ribs, and from that rib, he made a woman. And Adam said, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Now, I want you to see this tonight if you can. Here is a woman that is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. It has been said that the woman was not in the original creation, which is true. She was not in the original creation in the way that it has been expressed. But it is also true that she was in the original creation in that God created Adam as both male and female. Within Adam, who was part of the original creation, Eve was also found within Adam because she was born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And God created that flesh in the original creation. So then, being bone of the bone and flesh of the flesh, she had her originality in God by being in Adam. Is that right? But the thing is, it is evident that if she was to stray from Adam, that she would lose her identity with God. Because the only tie that she had between her and God was by means of the mediator, her husband. Is that right? I hope you can see what I'm saying. There was no tie between God and the woman except through Adam. It had to be through Adam. Have you ever noticed a woman will do almost anything to get around the law of her husband? Have you ever noticed that? She'll say to him, if he happens to tell her that she needs to do something, she'll say, "I'll have you to know I'm just as good as you are. God thinks just as much of me as he does you." And she'll go every way that she can to get around what he says. And he'll say, "But wife, the Bible said that you are to honor your husband, reverence your husband, and to obey your husband in all things." But she will find every means of going contrary to that word that her husband has spoken to her. Is that right? She doesn't want to go through the head. And as a consequence of that, she can't get to God. Are you listening? The woman has no salvation if she is a married person. She has no salvation unless she goes to God through her husband. There is no salvation for her. Revelation plainly shows, as well as the scripture, that she has no salvation except through her husband. That's why the Bible tells her that she is to honor her husband. She is to reverence her husband. She is to obey her husband in all things. A lot of times the lady folks here, they'd rather that I wouldn't tell them that.
But did you know that the minister that does not tell his congregation that the women folk will be lost? Did you know that? Unless God can, by divine inspiration or revelation, bring it to some of the women in the congregation, they will be lost. There is no salvation for the woman aside from her husband. That's why that she'll go any way, she'll do anything. The husband can tell her to do something. She will break down and she will cry to get around it. Or she'll go pray to get around it. Or she'll get upset to get around it. Or she'll answer him back and say, God loves me just like he loves you. And she'll say, wait till we get to the judgment. And then God's going to tell us such and such and such and such, and then you'll see. But I want to tell you something, folks. This is the judgment. And when you get to the judgment, the Bible said you have one that shall judge you in the last day, even the words that your husband speaks. In the last day, Jesus said the words shall judge you. And the Word of God says to honor your husband. If you're judged by the Word in the day of judgment, when you stand there waiting for your judgment, waiting for God to tell you what to do, God will look back at you with the Word, and the Word will again say to you, wives, honor thy husband, reverence thy husband, obey thy husband in all things. And if you're guilty of transgression of that, you are lost. It is absolutely necessary for you to reverence, to honor, to obey in all things your husband. There is no salvation unless you can do it. You don't have any salvation unless you can do it. Now, why is that? Because you are not in the originality of God. You follow me? I want you to see this. A woman is not in the original creation except in her husband. If she separates herself from her husband, then she is no longer in the original creation. Because the only identity that she has with God is through her husband. How many of you understand what I'm saying? She has no connection with God except through her husband. If she cuts herself off from her husband, she is lost. Because her identity with God is through her head. You follow me? Now you say, how can you prove that, Brother Pine? All right, let's just look at it for a few minutes. The very minute that Eve disobeyed God, she partook of the tree of knowledge. In her unbelief, she severed the tie between her husband and between her. You say, now how do you get that? Because the Bible said that Adam was not in the transgression. Adam was not in the transgression. Somebody would say then, why was it that Adam was put out of the garden? For the sake of his wife. But the Bible said that Adam partook too. I know he did. Because the Bible said that Jesus Christ was forced to come down here in this world and partake of flesh and blood and be made sin when he knew no sin, that he might take the sins of his wife and bear the sins of that woman to Calvary, that he might set her free. Is that right? There is no tie except through your husband. I want you to see this tonight in Revelation. There is no tie between the spirit and the woman except through her husband. That's why the devil will try so hard to get her to deviate and go around the words of her husband. If you try to go in any other way, you don't come in by the door, you're a thief and a robber. Your husband is your gun. Without your husband, you don't have a garment. Your husband is your garment. For his image is in the original creation as the Son of God. Is that right? Your husband is in the original creation as the Son of God. You have no chance to be a son of God except his bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You say, but Brother Pike, a woman couldn't be a son of God anyway. Well, how is the Bible said that we're the woman, and now, beloved, are you the sons of God? The woman is also a son of God, as long as she is in her husband. I'm not speaking to the world. I'm speaking to Christians. I'm speaking to Christians. I'm not speaking to women out there to obey them beasts that they call their heads out there. Some of them brute beasts been made, taken, and be burned. Even though what God says to one, he says to all, they ought to honor the head if they married it. But Jesus, he taught that he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Is that right? You are the living, and he is your God. Is that right? So then, you have no salvation except through your head. If you cut yourself off from your husband, you have lost your identity. You've lost your garment. You've went in by another means, which is a satanic carnal mind that's got control of you in your own reasoning. And you've lost the image of the Son of God, which is your righteousness to God, which is your head. Is that right? This is why that the church, the devil will do anything that he can to cause the church to try to get around the words of their husband. It doesn't matter what the Bible said. The church would rather sell popcorn, sell candy, do anything, have ritualistics, have all kinds of practices, anything but go through the name and through the word of their head, which is God. Is that right? They'll do anything to get around Christ. They want God. They want the Spirit. They want the blessings. They want the world of goodies. But they don't want to go through the filter, which is Jesus Christ, their husband. Why? Because he's got some rules. He's got some regulations. He's got some restrictions. And he is the door. But the church will be called anything but by the name of Jesus. And yet the Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it and they are saved. There is no protection for the woman unless she is in the name of her husband. The woman is a nobody in the sight of the world unless she is in the name of her husband. The woman, which is the flesh, is a nobody to God and in the sight of the angels, unless they are in the name of their husband, Jesus Christ. Remember, that woman is nothing but a typical thing of what you men really are. When I saw the condition of the woman through the Spirit, I was so shocked till I told God, I said, I don't see how you even stand us. It's no wonder you said you'd spit us out, vomit us up. That's right. When my eyes came open, years ago, I used to think, you know, you just couldn't help but think, well, maybe God was a little bit too hard. Maybe God was just a little bit unreasonable. Maybe was too hard on humanity and expected too much out of humanity. But when I got into Revelation and I saw how dirty and low down the woman treated the husband, and I could see into her spirit and see what she was doing to him, and I knew that that was the same way that I had done God, and that's the same way you've done God, I said, God, how in the world can you stand me? I learned something about grace. I suddenly realized that God had been very gracious to us. I don't see how he even stood us. But through the grace that is in the husband, He honors the wife as the weaker vessel and goes on loving her and trying to help her and trying to strengthen her and trying to straighten her out while the devil is continually causing her to crucify him. It's a continuation. What is it? The woman represents the death of the body. That's what I preached the other night. I preached the mystery of his will. And the woman, when Paul said, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" The woman represents the body of that death. That's what it is. The man represents the spirit of life that is not contrary to God, which was not in the transgression, but the woman, the body of death. She represents that body of death. She is in the transgression. The man is not in the transgression. Paul said, "In my body there is no good thing. How to will is present, but to get a woman to perform it, how are you going to do it?" The man can will something, but to get that woman to perform it, she'll do anything in the world to get around it. God, the Christ within me, he wills a certain thing of his word, of his way, of his desire. But to be able to get the flesh to perform it, he can't get them to do it. No matter what he tells them, they've got to add a little bit, take away a little bit. They've got to covet, they've got to lust. The Bible said, "Within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing." For to will is present, but how to perform it, he said, "I find not." Oh, wretched man that I am. The woman could say, "Oh, wretched woman that I am. My husband wills something, and I'm supposed to obey it. Not in obeying him, but doing all things as unto God. I'm supposed to obey the word of God. Oh, wretched woman that I am. I don't obey the word of God that tells me to honor reverence in all things. I'm disobedient to the word of God. Oh, wretched woman that I am. To think that I disobey the words of the crucified Christ." You follow me? So then, Jesus says to the church that they must do this. And Jesus said to the church they must do that. But do they obey it? No, they've got their own doctrines. They've got their own disciplines. The Bible said their fear is taught by the disciplines and doctrines of men. What is it? It is the body of that death. The body of that death. The only way that you can accept that woman, when you know that she come from another family and she really doesn't belong to you as far as the name's concerned, the only way that you can accept her is that she is willing to die and become one with you. If she is willing to die and become one with you, that's the only way you can accept her. If she's not willing to die and become one with you, she is still typical of the beast and the betrayal of the garden. But if she accepts your name, if she accepts your way of life, then you've got to look on her like Jesus does the church. See her as a glorified something that's holy and pure, without blame. Not because she's worthy, not because she's done it, but because you're worthy and she's got your name. That's right. That's why that a man ever noticed the woman. All of a sudden, a woman will seem unclean to her husband. He just don't want to get near her. He don't want to love her. He don't want to place his confidence with her. Why? Because he feels her disobeying. He feels her drifting away, and she seems dirty to him. And she is dirty to him. If she's willfully doing it, if she's subconsciously doing it, not willingly, he's supposed to have grace and realize she's the weaker vessel and she's been led astray. But if she willfully do it, she is dirty because she's violated the scripture and she's made herself dirty. Therefore, she is only cleansed through him. As she draws nigh to him, he draws nigh to her. And then she becomes clean to him because she becomes what he is. And she is obeying the word of God. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The woman is typical of the body of death. Now, notice this, that when the Lord gave the curse, he said to the woman, cursed, cursed shall it be with thee, such for thou shalt bring forth thy children in sorrow. Is that right? This, in Revelation, if you can see it, is typical of the old man. It is typical of the Jew. And everything that the Jew ever done for God, it was a travail. Everything that they ever did was a travail. Is that right? They constantly travailed before God. They had to fast. They had to pray. Every spiritual child that was born into the kingdom of David or into the kingdom of the Jews, it was a travail. It was an agony. It was abstaining from the love and affection of one another. Always a standard that they had to hold through a travail. Because the curse was, thou shalt bring forth thy children in sorrow. But notice this. God's hallowed presence being over them, God was still with them. God blessed them. But at Calvary, you see the Jews rejected. You see the Jews cut off. Why? Why are they cut off? Because they lost their identity with their husband. They lost their identity with the head, which was Jesus, and God cut them off in darkness. And they were no longer in the presence of God. Why? Because Jesus was the head of the Jews. He was the king of the Jews. It was written, the inscription, the king of the Jews. They tried to make Pilate change it, but he said, I won't change it. What I've written, I've written. God wouldn't let him change it. He was the king of the Jews. Not only the king of the Jews, but the king of the world. The king of angels. Is that right? So then, they rejected the laws of their husband, of that husband. And because of that, they were cut off. They lost their identity with God. They lost their covering. And they wandered in darkness. And they've been scattered abroad. And they can't find their way back anymore. Why? Because they were cut off. They were put out of the garden. Now the presence of God, though he'd walked with them, been with them, yet they were put out of the presence of God, taken away from the presence of God because they rejected their head. But look at the beauty of what God did. Though they travailed, though there was a travail, though there was a curse, yet the Bible said everyone that hangeth upon a tree is accursed. And Paul said, inasmuch as everyone that hangeth upon a tree is accursed, then God has made Jesus Christ the curse for us. And he's lifted it from us. And who are we? The Gentiles? We are they that was desolate. And the Bible said, as it is written, O woman, thou who wert desolate, now you can rejoice. Now you can sing. Now you can bring forth. For more are the children of the desolate woman. More are her children than the woman that had a husband. We who were desolate, that had no children, today we're not under the curse. We don't travail to bring forth today. Is that right? When Zion travailed, she brought forth her sons and daughters. But today we don't travail to bring forth sons and daughters. We rejoice. We praise God. We sing. Why? Because the curse is lifted. We're not under the curse anymore. They were to bring forth the children in travail, in agony. But the Bible said, as quick as the woman travailed, she brought forth the children. Now then, with us, in our travail, we bring forth without sorrow. The curse wasn't the travail. The curse was the pain, the sorrow, the agony of it. But as quick as we travail, the children are born. Is that right? Through rejoicing. Because the curse is lifted from the woman. We don't have to go through it. We're God's woman. We're God's woman. But we can sing and rejoice. Multiply, replenish the earth. By the spiritual things of God. We can do it. Is that right? We don't have to go through all of this travail. That is of sorrow and heartaches. A beautiful picture of being redeemed from the curse. Someday Israel will be redeemed. Right now, as Eve, she's rejected from the presence of God, wandering around out in the world, always in a travail, being killed out, the blood being spilled constantly. Every person that comes into the world as a Jew comes into a travail. But someday God will take away the travail of Israel and bring her back into the garden of the Canaan land. Out in the millennium, there'll be no more travail as far as sorrow is concerned. The children will come forth without sorrow. Children are not a curse. Travail is not a curse. To multiply and replenish the earth is not a curse. You say, how do you get that? Because before Adam and Eve ever sinned, God said, replenish the earth. It was a blessing. Adam and Eve, I made you. I had somebody to say, what does God mean by replenishing the earth? That means there must have been somebody before Adam and Eve. No. When he said, replenish, he said, Adam and Eve, when I put you here, that was plenishing the earth. I plenished the earth by putting you here. And putting the beast and putting all of this other stuff. I plenish the earth, but you multiply and replenish the earth. Is that right? So then the trees multiplied and replenished. The beast multiplied and replenished. Adam and Eve was to multiply and replenish. But when the curse came, God said, now Eve, because you've sinned, you're still going to bear children, but you're going to do it in sorrow. Is that right? And the world has been in sorrow. There has been a multiplying in the earth of humanity. There has been a multiplying of mankind. But it's always been wars and tornadoes and sorrows and heartaches and problems all down through the ages. But my brother, in coming on this side of Calvary, we're free from the curse. We found favor with God. And we can live in the presence of God. We don't have to walk in fear. We don't have to be afraid of the storms. We don't have to be afraid of sickness. We don't have to be afraid of all of those evils. As I preached the other night in the mystery of His will, God gives us the key to the secret in the mystery of His will. We're free from poverty. We're free from sickness. We're free from the curse. For cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. That freed me from the curse of sickness. That freed me from the curse of sorrow. That freed me from the curse of poverty. Today I'm free from the curse of God. Those that have rejected God are not free. For the Bible said, you're under the curse. I've cursed your blessings, God said, because you've withheld from me. And Malachi said, bring all the offerings and the tithes in the storehouse. Prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. And see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't receive. Is that right? But he said, I've cursed your blessings already. But we're not cursed. Deuteronomy, the Lord said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. He said, I'll make you a blessing or I'll make you a curse. You reject me, he said, cursed shall thou be in the city. What does he mean? He means that there'll be fires like it was in the Weinkauf Hotel many years ago. There'll be bombings, there'll be heartaches, there'll be woes in the cities, wrecks and tragedies. There'll be diseases. Is that right? Cursed shall thou be in the field. Is that right? Everything that you plant, the worms and the bugs will eat it up. Like the plagues of the locusts and all these birds and things that come in on the crops. Droughts. Cursed shall thou be in the field, he said. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. Walk, twisted up, maimed, halt, lame, blind, mentally retarded. Cursed shall be thy children. Is that right? Why? You choose you this day. He said the blessing of the curse. I'll make you the head of the nation and not the tail if you'll serve me. But if you reject me, I'll make you the tail and not the head. Is that right? So then God has made us the head and not the tail. God's made us the blessing and not the curse, because it became a curse for us. Yonder at Calvary, he took our sins away. Hang upon the tree, and he bore my infirmities in his body, took my stripes upon his back, took away my sin, and today I'm free. Why? Because he bore it for me. I'm free today of the curse. I don't have to travail, that is, in sorrow. I don't have to bring forth in sorrow. Why? Because Jesus took my place at Calvary and took the sorrow away. So then Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall do it? My husband shall do it. My husband shall do it. The woman said, I'm in misery. I'm in trouble. I'm in sorrow. I'm in woe. Who can deliver me? Your husband can deliver you. If he's a God-man, if you'll turn to him with all of your heart, love him, everything will be all right. But if you don't turn to him, you'll never have peace. The Bible said there's no peace to the wicked. All the paths of God are the path of peace. What is the path of God? God's Word. What does the Word say? The path of the woman is honor, obey, and reverence. That's the path you're to travel. You follow God's paths, you'll find peace. Turn to your husband, you'll find peace. If you don't, there'll never be any peace for you. Now then, if that is typical of you who are the flesh, if the flesh is the body of this death, then the only peace for the flesh is to turn to their husband. The only peace for me is to turn to Jesus Christ. The only peace for me is to turn to the Word. For all the paths of God are peace. And if I turn, follow God's ways, follow God's Word, then I'll have a path of peace. But if I don't follow that, I'll never have peace. The Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh. And there is no peace to the wicked. Said they're ever like the mire that's coming up out of the sea that's thrown up on the bank. Ever like the restless waves of the sea that's ever casting up the mire. I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. For I am angry with the wicked every day. Every day. Their prayers are abomination in my sight. Their offerings are abomination in my sight. Therefore am I angry with the wicked every day. But there is the path of peace, a path of peace that we can have. And that path is the Word of God. For there is the way and there is the highway. And this way shall be called the way of holiness. The highway is the broad way. And many shall go down the highway of destruction. But there is a way that is called the way of holiness. And that is Christ. For Jesus said, I am the way. And he said, I am the Word. And if Christ is the Word and Christ is the way, then the way of holiness is the Word. And if he is the Prince of Peace, that is the path of peace. If he is the Prince of Peace, that is the path of peace. To follow him. A lot of things I'd like to say concerning this tonight. But I just felt like exhorting you a little bit. Wives, honor your husband. Honor your husband. Church, there is a head. That's the Word, Jesus Christ, the revelation of Christ. That is the Word, and that is the door. And you can't get to God, the Spirit, except through it. And though we reason in our minds and try to adjust our lives to every turn, every twist, every shortcut, yet I can assure you of one thing, that the only identity that you have is in the Word. If you have lost your identity with the Word, your head, you've lost your connection with God, and you are dead. Are you listening? I want to bring out just a thought here in closing. If you have separated yourself from the Word, you are not Word flesh. You're not bone of this bone and flesh of this flesh. Therefore, you've lost your identity, which is the wedding garment. You've went in by the satanic means of your own reason. Your body is full of reflex and impulses, affections, and contrariness to the spiritual things that you're not dead to, wife, because you're not one with your husband in bringing every thought into subjection to him, in bringing every intent of the heart, as David said, every reflex and every impulse. You've not become one with him. The woman was not in the originality of God except through the head. Now, I want you to listen now. We say that the woman, speaking of the wife, she was not in the original creation. But that was only a symbol and a type. Being in the original creation, that's the woman and the man. But I'm not speaking of a wife. I'm speaking of the flesh that God created in the garden, which was the original creation. But going beyond that, though he was the original creation, yet he was not the originality of God. Flesh has never been the originality of God. In the beginning was the Spirit. That was it. There was no flesh. In the originality, the Spirit world, the woman, which is the flesh, was not in the originality of God. You follow me? Because it's created flesh. It's created flesh. Therefore, the flesh was not in the originality of God, because God is the Spirit. Then how does the woman get into the originality of God? There is only one way that the woman is in the originality of God. No other way. And that is for her to receive a word of Spirit and for her to be interwoven with the Word and be made a quickening spirit. Therefore, as Adam the first failed, so came Jesus the quickening spirit. And Jesus was in the originality of God. Because the Bible said, "Restore unto me the joys, Father, I had with thee before the world ever was." He was the quickening spirit. And if we are born of the Spirit, then we are also members of that Spirit, bone of that bone and flesh of that flesh. That means that we were in the originality of God. But if we are cut off from Christ, then we are not in the originality of God. We are human beings. We are flesh. We are brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. We are perishing because we are not in the originality of God. That is to say, we're not spirit. And anything that is not spirit is not in the originality of God. So then to be an eternal creature, or that which is the originality, ought to be that which is and was and shall ever be, who was, is, and is to come. If we are to be that, then we've got to be it by being in the identity of our husband. Only in Jesus Christ, our husband, can we be eternal in the originality of God. If we lose that, then we are no longer a quickening spirit. Therefore, we've lost our identity with our head, which is the Word of Spirit, and we are not in the originality, which means we are not from everlasting to everlasting. We are not eternal unless we are in Him. Is that right? The Bible speaks of those that belong to Him. They are God's workmanship created in Christ before the world ever was. So then, wives, you see where you're supposed to be. I know that you'll never do it. Not preaching to you because I expect you to do it. I know you won't do it. But you're going to wish you had. You're going to be cunning and crafty. And you're going to handle that husband
cunningly and craftily and motivate and move him and cause him to do just like you want to and make him think he's got the wheel all the time. But hell's going to be hot for you, my sister. But you ladies that can come to the place to where you surrender once and for all to your husband. You don't have any eye for another man. You don't have any impulses for another man. You don't have any reflex for another man. You're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. All you are is what he is. In every desire, every thought, every intent of the heart, every ambition for life. You say, Brother Pike, is that in his evils? That's not considering his evils. You're not to conform to any of his evils. Somebody said, that's my loophole. I'll judge the thing the way I want to judge it, and when I judge it, I'll decide whether I want to do it or not. That wasn't what it said. It said, in all things. Is that right? So that does away with your loophole. You don't have a loophole. All right, let's stand together. It's a wonderful day that we're living in. We've got a wonderful opportunity, a chance to serve God, a chance to be like our husband. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't conform to his image, the Bible said in the morning, and there is coming a morning, there's coming a morning in the by and by, in the morning, he said, I will despise your image. You say, why, Brother Pike, would he do that? Because you will be a bastard child, born out of wedlock, and you will bear the image of the beast, the transgression and the fall of the garden. And he will despise your image, for your nature will cause your image to conform to the beast. But if you are found in his likeness in the morning, we know not what he looks like, but we know that we'll be like him when he appears, for we shall see him as he is. Then in the morning we'll be made in his image. We'll be made in his likeness. We'll be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We will be, in the morning, the sons of God. The sons of God. They sang that song. Now we are the sons of God.